Hey, everybody, before we get into today's episode, I just want to issue a quick apology. I screwed something up, and so the sound quality is not quite what I like it to be. Nevertheless, we thought it was such a fun conversation that we had with Darren about this song that we're going to release the episode anyway. So, again, my apologies, especially to you, Joe Shipley. I didn't mean to ruin your afternoon with this. Another thing I forgot to mention, I'm going to include a song at the end that was a PSA from Washington State about cleaning up after your dog, and it is the parody song called Dog Doogity. So, in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Play on, play it. Play on.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I thought to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
No diggity.
I thought to bag it up.
Bag it up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great.
You feel well rested?
I feel very well rested.
Very well rested. Had a nice, relaxing day today.
I took 2 naps today.
That's all right.
And I'm feeling fresh.
Only 2? I thought you went 3.
Oh, no, I took 3 naps today.
Solid.
I did take 3 naps.
That's
today.
A good Friday.
One of them was with you.
joining us today, you remember him from our episode on Hall & Oates, Private Eyes. I almost said a different Hall & Oates song there. That was good. So, but of course, it is local comedian, our friend, Mr. Darren Patterson. Darren, welcome back to our house. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing just swimmingly. Thank you so much for having me back.
I love your, like, old-timey colloquialisms.
I remember for, like, a while in high school, like, I had this thing where I just like to use old-school vernacular.
Sure.
That was like my thing. I was like, oh yeah, hey, what's the heft there, kiddos?
What's the heft?
Like a 15-year-old kid being like, oh, that's far out, right on.
You ever watch 30 Rock when Steve Buscemi is pretending to be a high school student?
How do you do, fellow kids?
That was even, but actually as a kid.
I put that into practice.
We can thank you for that joke.
Yeah, he had like a t-shirt on that had like... It said Rock Band on it, but in the AC/DC font, it was a Rock Band. Hello, children.
That's great.
Darren has a wolf sweater on tonight, and it is such a cool sweater. I want to, like, steal it.
It is, like, a nice wolf sweater. It's not, like, one of those, like, airbrushed wolf t-shirts that you can buy at, like, a gas station rest stop.
I get compliments on the sweater.
It's a really good sweater.
It's good for sweating. It's perfect for sweating.
Well, that's not what sweaters are for.
I didn't even mention Darren's podcast when I introduced him.
Mention them.
I will mention them now. So you are the co-host of 2 podcasts that we have come to love quite a bit. The Virgin Chronicles, as well as SNL Nerds.
Absolutely.
Would you do me a favor and just like describe both of those for people who might not be familiar with them?
Why, surely. So my older podcast, one I've been doing it for a little bit longer, is called the Virgin Chronicles Podcast. I do it with my buddy Evan Morgenstern, and we record in a bar in Brooklyn, and we talk to comedians and writers and actors and whoever else will talk to us about their first times. It doesn't have to be about the first time you had sex. It could be about the first time you did anything. Your first time on stage, your first heartbreak, first road trip, first time you got arrested, first fight, anything first time. And we've had some doozies.
Yeah, the guy, the first time he stole a car.
Yeah.
That was the wildest one.
Oh, you heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I binge listened a while ago. I got through quite a few of them.
Nice. Yeah, that first time. We had one guy on who talked about the first time he stole a car, which also happened to be the first time he ever drove a car. So,
it's impressive. I did not hear that episode.
Oh, it's a short one, but it's a good one.
It's good.
Yeah. So listen to that. We're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And follow us on Twitter, Virgin Chron Pod. That's the Virgin Chronicles. My other podcast is called SNL Nerds. I do it out here in Jersey with my buddy John Trumbull, and we just talk about Saturday Night Live while we talk about the last episode of SNL. We review it, break it down, and on the days that there is no new episode of SNL, we'll record an episode, you know, that talks about like the history of SNL. So we'll maybe do a list of our favorite guest hosts, our favorite cast members, you know, stuff like that. Like the last one
you were talking about getting into like movies that the cast members did.
I would love that if you did an episode on SNL inspired movies.
I think we're gonna do that.
We just do a whole Corky Romano episode.
Oh my lord. I mean, I think we've been talking, we might do that this summer because, like, you know, SNL takes that big summer break.
Sure.
So we're thinking, well, what are we going to do then? So maybe we might break down all the SNL movies.
I have a vision for you, like a two-parter of, like, the best of SNL movies and the worst of SNL.
Yeah, we might do that. It'll start off with, we might just go from Wayne's World all the way down to It's Pat and Stuart Sage's family.
I feel like you could include Three Amigos in there because that's a Lorne Michaels produced.
Yeah, that's true.
Starring cast members.
But does the idea come from SNL?
It doesn't.
Leave it for Darren to figure this out. Let's not spoil it.
No, I say we figure out your podcast.
Do my work for me. Help me out here. But we've been thinking about, we might do something like that. We were thinking about maybe just doing SNL, you know, movies based on SNL sketches or maybe branching out to Lorne Michaels produced SNL movies. But that's not until the summer.
Right.
Like for now, we just do the most recent episodes of SNL. The last one we put out was, last one we put out was SNL, our favorite SNL guest hosts. And we both made lists and neither one of us knew what was on the other's list. And so we said the first one, like we said our number one at the same time and we both had the same number one.
Beautiful.
It was pretty adorable.
Where can we find SNL Nerds?
Oh, SNL Nerds. Thank you for asking. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play and the non-productive website. We do our podcast. We do that podcast through Non-productive. You can find that on non-productive.com.
Do you think there are any recurring characters on SNL in the past couple of seasons that deserve their own movie?
That's the thing. I don't think there is. Like, this SNL...
You don't think the former porn stars could hold the two
out? Oh, no.
Just mispronouncing things?
Yeah, no. I mean, I feel like maybe that character that Kate McKinnon does, like when... They have some supernatural experience, and like they have the three people there, like talking about their experience, and her experience is always kind of weird, and ends up with her pants off at some point.
I feel like unless they were doing like a political movie.
Yeah, and like that's the thing about this new cast. There aren't too many like reoccurring characters.
Right.
Like they don't really have that kind of
a David S. Pumpkins.
Yeah, I mean, he got his own Halloween special. It's like they showed that special like twice. How did he get his own special?
Would you watch a Khal Drogo Ghost Dojo movie?
Oh dear Lord, let's not talk about that.
Brad, Darren is our guest.
That's true. I apologize. I didn't mean to be so rude.
Insulting me in your own home.
That's why we invited you over, was to just sit here.
Just to insult me to my face?
Exactly.
I'm going to have one more beer, then I'm going to leave.
You can have three or four if you'd like.
I'll have three or four more beers, then I'm going to leave.
Then I'm out of
here. But then. I am out of here. Good day, sir. So we asked you last time about your first musical memory, your first CD purchase, your first album purchase.
Yes.
And we found out your favorite SNL cast member of all time, Phil Hartman.
Of course.
Which I think I agree with you. There's something about
him. He's the GOAT.
But one thing I wanted to ask you today was, do you have a favorite SNL musical performance of all time?
Oh, that is interesting. Right off the bat, I mean, a few come to mind. I mean, of course, there's the iconic Elvis Costello.
That's what I think is mine, Radio Radio.
Yeah. Like, because like the network didn't want him to play that.
Right.
So he was going into, Less Than Zero. And then just in the middle of it, he cuts it off. It's like, I can't do this. And they just tell the band, play Radio Radio. And they just go into playing Radio Radio.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the most like punk rock things you ever could see.
What about Pearl Jam? Shout out to Kurt Cobain right after we lost Kurt Cobain.
I don't remember that.
Now, they were playing Daughter, and Eddie Vedder had a K written over his heart. And at one point in the song, he starts vamping on this line from I believe it's a Neil Young song that Kurt Cobain had quoted in his suicide note.
Oh, wow.
And while he's tapping this K on his chest.
Oh, wow. I gotta go back.
It's a pretty, like, sad moment, but it is also my favorite Pearl Jam song.
I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there's also, of course, the Sinead O'Connor infamous reveal. Like, I remember at the time.
And the subsequent Jan Hook sketch.
Yeah. About that, yeah. So. I mean, I remember watching that as a kid and thinking, oh, wow. It felt weird because I think that was like the only time after a performance like the audience didn't applaud.
Right.
And I thought that was weird. That's scary.
I only ever saw that on repeat on Comedy Central, and they edited that out.
Yeah,
they edited that out entirely.
Right. And but I mean, as far as my favorite, I mean, the first one that came to mind was I'm a huge fan of Queens of the Stone Age, and so when they were on doing Little Sister,
okay,
and they're because in the song there's a cowbell,
yeah,
and I believe that's when Will Ferrell was hosting, and so when they were doing Little Sister, and when the cowbell part came up, Will Ferrell came up dressed up as a Blue Oyster Cult guy from
Gene,
exactly. And he just came on, stage during the song, just hit the cowbell, and like everybody automatically got what they were doing.
That's
like,
fun.
This was like years after they did the, you know, the famous cowbell sketch.
Sure.
But everybody got the reference.
But that immediately became an iconic character, an iconic sketch.
Yeah, right.
Between him and Christopher Walken.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Now, a few weeks ago when Grizel Cabrera was on and we talked about Walk Like an Egyptian, we ended up discussing Bret Easton Ellis and his novel Less Than Zero.
Right.
And just now, I have figured out where the title Less Than Zero comes from. And I did a little quick research while you guys were chatting, and it is true. Elvis Costello's song Less Than Zero came out on his album My Aim Is True in 1977.
Right.
And Bret Easton Ellis did intentionally name his novel, his first novel, which he wrote when he was still a college student in the like mid to late 80s, he named it Less Than Zero for that song.
So interesting.
It's a cool thing I learned just because Darren was here today.
I like to teach while educating.
The teacher has become
most
the student,
teachers
as
like
it were.
Teach whilst educating. Yeah. Those things do go together.
The more you know.
NBC, just like SNL.
Yeah, right? See?
It's basically, wow.
It all connects.
It does.
It's a wonderful spider web of.
No, but seriously, like, I just thought that was real cool.
No, that's interesting. Now you got to go back and watch the iconic Elvis Costello performance.
Yeah, I don't think I've
never
seen that. No, I'm not familiar with it at all.
All right, well, basically, Elvis, real quick. So basically, what happened, he wanted to do the song called Radio, which is basically like an anti-radio song about how like the radio just, you know.
Anti-corporate radio.
Anti-corporate radio. And he wanted to do that on SNL, but the people at SNL were like, no, don't do that song. You do, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
So he was going into playing this other song called Less Than Zero, and they were live, and like, he played the first opening chords, and midway through the opening chords, he was like, no, I can't do this. And he said, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but there's just no reason for me to play this song here tonight. Then he quickly goes to the band and said, play Radio. And so they just go right into Radio. And like,
well, that was also like his single at the time.
Right.
So it's like, he's there to promote, I mean, as most bands do, like their current single, only to be told like, no.
Yeah, and then like, no, play stuff, because, you know, they don't want to, it's an anti-corporate song. He's like, you can't play it on NBC. So like, he played it and got in trouble, and he was banned from SNL for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's not.
I thought Lorne Michaels gave him a lifetime ban. Who did Lorne Michaels give a lifetime ban to?
Steven Seagal? Somebody a lifetime ban.
That's a whole episode. People have been banned.
Sorry, now I'm like sucked into this separate conversation, and I'm curious to know more.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I just trust that you know this stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But I mean, Elvis Costello, the band's been lifted. He's been on SNL since. But at the time, it was a big
old deal.
Big old deal.
Where does Ashley Simpson rank on your list?
Shut up! I was gonna say. My favorite performance is Ashley Simpson doing her hoedown dance.
Yeah, that was good.
I remember seeing that. I was like, oh no.
That was the most hilarious part of that episode, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So that was a.
Yeah, she just like, when it's like a little dance and then they just quickly cut to commercial.
Yeah.
I remember at the time thinking, like, oh, that didn't go well.
That was the second song she was performing, but something went wrong and like it played the first song again.
There was something weird.
And,
but
like, you could tell she wasn't singing, but her voice was coming out of the speaker.
Then she just did like a hoedown dance. And to tie it into what we're about to talk about, I believe, and someone would need to fact check me, that she was wearing overalls.
Ooh.
I don't know, but inside of me thinks she was wearing overalls.
It's very possible. Like, either I feel like overalls or maybe like one of those jumpsuits that like mechanics wear. They were kind of big in the 90s too.
I think this was the 2000s.
Oh, the early aughts?
Yeah, but she was old school.
That's true. We've always said that about
Ashley Simpson, you know? So that's a great segue, if I may.
Well done.
Into the song we are discussing today. It is, of course, the 1996 hit by Blackstreet, No Diggity, off of their album Another Level. Rebel. This song featured Dr. Dre and Queen Penn, who was evidently a person.
Yeah, she was.
Probably so, still is. It is for that matter.
Yeah, yeah, I shouldn't say was. Like, she's, you know, like gone. She,
yeah.
Oh, it's official. She was not wearing overalls.
Okay.
She's wearing, like, some type of like baggy pants.
She
like,
was wearing baggy pants and a tank top.
Jenkos. She was in her Jenkos.
Exactly.
Yeah. This song went to number one on the Hot 100, number one on the Hot R&B Singles, number one Hot Dance Music, number one Rhythmic Top 40, number 10 on the Top 40 Mainstream Songs, and it was number one on the Cashbox list, which made it the last Cashbox number one hit before that went defunct.
What is the Cashbox? Because it's come up before, and I've never.
It's a separate. It's it is a wonderful Clash song. It was another list, kind of contemporary of Billboard,
like
for a while.
Money making songs. Is that what Cashbox means?
I'm gonna go ahead and say yeah, probably.
Okay, cool.
So this song
is a mega hit.
It was everywhere back in the day. I remember, like, just nonstop this song.
This song knocked the Macarena out of the number one slot.
Whoa.
And Macarena had been there for 14 weeks. It sold 1.6 million singles. The album, Another Level, went 4 times platinum. And then we never heard from Blackstreet again.
Yeah. They went out on top.
Now, their, I'll say frontman, also their producer, this guy, Teddy Riley.
Yeah, classic producer.
Yeah, this guy is a legend.
Legend.
This guy is like a living legend. He gave birth to the New Jack Swing movement.
Yes.
He gave birth to it.
He birthed it through his vagina and uterus.
Yep.
Wow.
And fallopes. Right through his fallopes.
No,
right.
He gives birth through their fallopes.
Well, he was New Jack Swing impregnated through his fallopes.
Okay.
Shall we say that?
Still not how that works, but
this,
you can go on.
I'm sure it is. You know.
Who cares? What do we need to know about female reproduction?
Yeah, right? Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that at all.
Fired.
Sleeping on the couch tonight.
Maybe several nights.
You're fine. Carry on.
But yeah, this guy's got some serious cred behind him, you know? Like,
did you know about Teddy Riley before, right? Or
I know his work. I didn't know his name.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me about his work? I don't know these things.
So he was a member of this old R&B group called Guy that I am not at all familiar with.
It had Aaron Hall in it. Another R&B singer.
He's a person.
Yes.
And he's also a producer. He worked on probably most famously Michael Jackson's album Dangerous.
Okay.
Which was what seems to be the very beginning of New Jack Swing.
Okay.
You know, songs like Do You Remember the Time and what else was on that album?
He co-produced Remember the Time and In the Closet. But I mean, New Jack Swing actually went back earlier than that because Teddy Riley, he produced New Jack Swing is basically kind of that.
It's like a blend of
dance,
R&B, and hip hop.
I mean, he produced Bobby Brown, My Prerogative.
Yes, I have that listed here.
So it kind of sounds
Heavy D, Now That We've Found Love.
Right. Keith Sweat, I Want Her. Johnny Kemp, Just Got Paid.
Keith Sweat.
It's like that. Like New Jack Swing is basically. Like, have you heard the song Finesse by Bruno Mars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's kind of like.
That entire album is kind of like a throwback to like 90s R&B.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But that song is definitely like a New Jack Swing sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that like Keith. I mean, so yeah. So Teddy Riley basically gave birth to that.
Uterus and vagina, as we've discussed.
And just side note, I appreciated the pronunciation of prerogative, not prerogative, but just
pre.
I didn't even realize I said that.
You did.
Prerogative.
And also, Teddy Riley, he also produced he was also part of this band called Rex in Effect.
Am I
taking the word out of your mouth?
Hold on a second.
The original Rump Shakers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was your mind just blown?
It was.
Because my eardrums were just blown by your reaction. Yeah.
I like to take note of like intertextuality and allusions in songs. And like one of the things that I really like about hip hop and R&B is that intertextuality, that they take other pieces and just kind of like weave them into their own work. So I have a note about the intertextuality in this song where it just like very casually interjects the original Rum Shakers without... It's this like super casual allusion to another work in a similar genre. I had no idea though that the same person was involved. Yeah. Like it was literally original Rum Shaker. That makes it even better. I love it.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Is responsible for zoom, zoom, zooming, and boom, booming.
Just shake your rum. I didn't know how to pronounce Rex and FX because it's got an extra X in it, which is so confusing.
CKX.
Extra X is for sexy. Hey, now.
I won't argue with that.
We're hoping that this podcast puts you in the mood. Is really this we want
to... This is an aphrodisiac. This
baby
podcast,
girl, though. Turn the lights down low. Put that podcast on.
Hey, girl.
you just boys to men this is what you just did.
Yeah, I know. I have a cane with me as I do this podcast. Hey, girl, what's going on?
So back in 96, were you guys fans of this song?
I was. I liked it.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it. I liked the beat. I liked the way they... Like, when I found out what song they sampled, I thought that was cool. Like, the Bill Withers sample.
Right.
I thought it had, like, a good groove to it. I thought the video was great. You know, Hype Williams joined at his
Hype Williams, man. He was a monster of video making.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know about Hype Williams?
No. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but before that, I didn't know anything about
it. You said you recognize the name, right?
The name, but like you guys had to explain to
me. I think he did like Waterfalls.
That's such a good video.
I wrote a list of...
I could be completely wrong about
that. I didn't see it, but he did No Scrubs, though.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
He also directed Tupac and Dr. Dre, California Love. He directed Montel Jordan, Is How We Do It. He directed Notorious B.I.G., One More Chance, and Big Papa. He directed, R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. He directed Busta Rhymes, Wu-Ha, Got Your Own Check, and Put Your Hands Where My Eye Can See. He directed Missy Elliott, The Rain, Super Duper Fly. He directed Will Smith, Getting Jiggy With It. He directed Puff Daddy.
That's amazing.
He directed Puff Daddy, I'll Be Missing You,
what
and
you're telling
More Money,
me
More Problems.
All of the videos.
Yeah. He directed DMX, Get At Me Dog, Ja Rule, Holla Holla, Jay-Z, Big Pimpin', Kanye West, Gold Digger, Dr. Dre, and Snoop, Still D.R.E.
That's crazy.
That's only a part of it. He
directed
way more.
I feel like the No Scrubs ladies could be a direct response to this song, now that I'm considering intertextuality. He wants to get in. Maybe I can get you in my ride.
Yeah.
And then in No Scrubs, in that song, there's...
Ride on the Passenger Side.
Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride.
Oh, so
in that song, they're calling him out for not even having his own ride.
Huh.
It doesn't have to be the same man. It would be fun if it was.
Can I point out that, like, Hype Williams has a definite, like, style for his videos. There's a very, like...
Very colorful.
Yeah, very bright, very well lit.
He does, like, the fisheye lens a lot in a lot of the other videos.
But then you get to things like Missy Elliott and Busta Rhymes, which are very, like, surreal.
Yeah,
is surreal the word I'm looking for? No, but, like, trippy, almost.
Abstract.
Yeah, there's a... Anyway, those are the odd videos out, I suppose.
Yeah.
While still very Hype Williams. I don't know, it's hard to say, because those are also very bright and colorful and, like...
Yeah. In the later 90s, it became like more colorful and bigger and more of a spectacle.
In this video there isn't a fisheye lens, there's still a lot of that like tight, like they're tight in towards the camera, and
we have all of the guys like right up on the lens. Yeah,
but they're not all in the lens; they're sort of angled towards the lens. Or when it's Dr. Dre and Queen Penn, they're like dancing together, but at once. Point he reaches towards the lens, almost like Hype Williams is imagining if this were in like if you were wearing 3D glasses or something,
right?
Which is almost a step towards the fisheye lens thing that you see in some of his videos, probably in like a year or two after this.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think
I've heard the list of videos,
right? Yeah,
it's like a stylistic choice, like of its time.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah,
Katie, were you a fan of this song when it was a big single?
So if you asked 14-year-old me, I would have said no, because I was obviously like too dark and, you know,
brooding
or anything like this.
A lot of The Cure.
But low key.
A lot of Ani DiFranco.
Oh.
No, Ani DiFranco came a little bit later, but the just would have been very much like I'm just whole Nirvana, Pearl Jam,
gotcha, Soundgarden,
not really so much
Smashing Pumpkins.
Like, Smashing Pumpkins, a splash of Green Day if I'm feeling like really cheerful. And so if you had asked me at 14 if I liked this song, I would have told you no, and it would have been a lie because I could not stop myself from liking quite a bit of this.
The rhythm's gonna get you.
The rhythm was always getting me. Yeah,
because I could see you
because I love to dance. I love to
right dance. I was gonna say, like, from the time I met you, like, loving this song if it came on the radio. I can see you as the type of person who would...
Could I even stop myself from dancing today?
Probably not.
You saw me.
Oh, then definitely not. Yeah, today? No, absolutely not.
I was trying to figure out the dance moves in the video.
I think I didn't care about this song at the time, but now I like it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no denying its ridiculousness in the lyrics. Or maybe not ridiculousness, but like...
I kind of started to see the song as like a modern day... I think we talked about... Like
modern day...
It's by the Commodores.
It's modern day, but it's 23 years old.
You know what I mean. Like, updated.
This song graduated from college already.
I don't like to think about that.
This song is going to come over and have the beers that you don't drink.
I don't think about that at all.
That work with people as old as...
The sour passage of time.
But, like, it's an updated version of Brick House by the Commodores.
Yeah.
Or She's a Bad Mamma Jamma.
Right.
By Carl Carlton.
The song, the message of the song is like, she's hot and I would like to have intimate relations with her.
Yes. Consensual.
And right in her uterus and vagina.
Wow. Whoa.
I've actually had a revelation about this song. And I know we haven't talked about any of the lyrics yet, but I think I'm just going to throw it out there up top.
Yes.
This song's ahead of its time.
Yeah. Okay.
This is like the most sex positive song of the 90s.
Okay.
Thank you.
It just struck me today that it was so celebratory of this woman's sexuality, sexual choices. I've got definitions of sex positivity.
You just punched the microphone.
And some characteristics. Yeah. And I'll tell you that the song meets all of them.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
This is
I'm pretty psyched about
this. This is female empowerment right here, guys.
It is. And I think I would like to switch it up a little bit. Katie, why don't you read the chorus for us?
Do you want me to lay out this info first, or let's read this stuff and then I'll get into
I think we need to get some lyrics out there.
Let's do it to it. Are we starting with the chorus or are we starting with verse one, Dr. Dre?
Do you want to just read through the first verse? Do you think that would be better? Because the chorus is, there's not much to it.
Should I read the intro and then the Dr.
Read the intro in verse one.
Okay.
I'm going to feel very silly saying some of this.
I don't understand why.
I'm not the right performer, but that's okay. I'm not like a stand-in for Dr. Dre, but I want everyone to know that I know that.
When I think of Dr. Dre, I think of Katie.
Okay, just like a 36-year-old white girl, like just
When they inevitably cast the Dr. Dre musical, Katie, I think that you got a shot. I think you got a shot.
Stand by your phone. Exactly. You're going to get the call.
I'm going to get that call. That's right. Okay. This will be very, like, Hamilton.
Well, we don't want you for Dr. Dre, but we thought maybe Eazy-E. Like,
can you perm your hair?
I've always thought that Eazy-E and I had a lot in common. And no, Darren, I actually think I can't perm my hair. My hair is so straight.
Oh, all right.
That it, like, will not curl or
perm. It will not curl?
This is all it does.
It's going to cost you a roll, man.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
It's going to ruin my career.
You could have been someone.
all right, no diggity. You know what I like? The playettes. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre, drop the verse. It's going down. Fade to Black Street. The homies got out me. Collab creations. Bump like acne. No doubt, I put it down. Never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch my ass out. Ooh, excuse me. A dog couldn't catch me ass out. A dog couldn't catch me ass out. Very interesting. I'm going to think about
that. Yeah,
a dog couldn't catch me ass out. I'm sorry I said it three times, but it was not what I thought it was. Tell me who can stop when Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet. Give them eargasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Blackstreet and Teddy, the original. Rump shakers.
Just shake your rump.
So
I wish I played the saxophone. Yeah.
So we've already discussed, obviously, the Rump Shaker connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, let me just get this out of the way because we can gloss right over it. Attracting honeys like a magnet, using the word magnet instead of bee, that is a missed opportunity.
I agree. I
thought, like, he was going to say honey and bees. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Magnet.
Like, now, I understand
he was going to attract honey.
He was trying to get it to flow with the word accent, but a little bit of work could have really...
Yeah.
He's not... I don't know. Dre's... strength has never been in rapping. It's always been
his rapping's always been fine.
It's been all right.
Yeah.
But like his producing, that's when he really shines.
Like he certainly had his fair number of hits that people still like love and sing along with.
And also,
but
can we give him credit for Fade to Black Street? Because I do like the double entendre.
Yeah, it's
fine.
He, you know, I'm going to revise what I said before. His writing has always had highlights.
Yeah.
He's always had strong points in his rapping.
It's been
6 foot 200 plus of pure chocolate is like my favorite Dre line in Keep the Heads Ringing.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's great.
That took me a minute. Like, what are you talking about? What?
I'm writing for Dre.
Okay. That took me a minute.
Yeah.
Pure chocolate? What the f*** are you talking about?
Settle down, Brad.
Whoa.
White chocolate at best.
Jeez Louise.
Very white chocolate.
Sugar free.
It's practically like clear.
I'm disappointed though that the line Fade to Black Street is so quickly followed by the simile Bump Like Acne.
I kind of like
anything. I hate that.
I kind of like Bump Like Acne.
Yeah, acne has is bumps. So.
But that's not sexy.
It's not. But it rhymes.
It doesn't even rhyme. It's a black street acne. It's a loose rhyme. It's a vowel rhyme at best.
And when the beat is that good, you can like kind of cheat a little bit. Like
there's denying that the beat is good.
It's a great beat.
What was the name of the Bill Withers song that they sang?
It's like Grandma's Hands.
Grandma's Hands. I've never heard that song before in my life.
It's a great song. It's a short song, but it's a really good song.
And it's evidently got like one solid guitar chord.
Yeah, like the opening of Grandma's Hands is, the guitar part.
Yeah.
And then they just repeat that for this song.
Does that piano bit at the end of the... So there's like the piano that comes in at the end of the verses or at the end of the stanzas in No Diggity.
The piano bit they added. That's not the song. They added that.
Gotcha.
And it's fabulous. Music in this song is great, right?
It never changes. It's one chord with the occasional turnaround note on the piano.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
And then the odd Peter Frampton noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that.
We will talk about that.
Absolutely.
Katie, what were you going to say about as long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me ass out?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I get that.
I don't know that I understand it. If it said a dog couldn't catch my ass out, I still don't know if I would understand it, but it might somehow make some more sense. I know there's a genius lyrics note on this from one commentator.
Yeah.
And we have no evidence that they can defend their analysis.
You know what the thing is? Because I'm not really sure what the history with Dr. Dre and Death Row was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So was there, do you know if there was any type of like falling out between them?
From what I know, there's tons of documentaries and stuff on it. But Dr. Dre and Death Row, they pretty much went out on pretty bad terms.
So this annotation on genius.com says like it's actually a diss to Snoop Dogg and all the other artists on Death Row, such as the Dog Pound and Nate Dogg, saying that they can't get any more production from him even if they caught him.
Oh, so it's like a Snoop Dogg diss.
Right, so saying Dogg is, yeah.
Huh, alright, that makes sense.
Now,
you're teaching my hood self something.
When I think of
that was such an awkward statement.
When I think of the line that a dog couldn't catch me ass out, this is obviously not what was intended in the song, but I will tell you what comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know the sunscreen where, like, the little girl's
bathing suit
is being pulled down by a dog? That is the only thing that comes to mind
when I
hear the line that you couldn't catch me with my ass like so you think Dr. Dre was
you think Dr. Dre was referencing the Coppertone
just
girl?
Like, low key trying to get a Coppertone sponsorship.
Katie, I'll tell you what, you sign up for an account on genius.com, you can just make that annotation and all of a sudden you're incredible. Yeah.
A Coppertone sponsorship.
Obviously. Right. That's what the entire song is.
Black man trying to get that suntan lotion.
Hey-o.
Any pigmentation could develop skin cancer, and so it might be.
It's true. Harmful like UV rays.
I guess.
Probably not, though, right, guys?
Probably not.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not sure all skin tones can develop cancer. I'm not even a Dr. Dre.
You're not a Dr. Dre.
And there are two.
Dr. J.
Yeah.
Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously went to UCLA Medical School, so that's...
For sure.
Medicinal marijuana.
He's opening his own practice.
No diggity.
No.
So let's... eargasms, right?
That's a great
one. Am I right, guys?
I love it.
So when I was living just outside of D.C. In Maryland, there was a store called Eargasm, which was basically like cell phones at the time, beepers, like electronic devices.
Ooh, pagers.
StarTAC
phones.
Can I tell you who their spokesperson was? The diabolical Biz Markie.
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Nobody beats the Biz.
Nobody beats the diabolical Biz. And then he would just go like, blah! He made some of the most bizarre noise.
Is that his eargasm noise?
Yeah, I guess.
And evidently it was, according to this commercial.
Dude's a legend. I have nothing but respect for Biz.
I love his version of Benny and the Jets.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like that song he had on the BC Boys album.
That's what
Oh, yeah, that was it, right?
Well, he did that, and then he also did a... He did a Ted Nugent song.
Yeah, the Beastie.
Yeah.
Biz versus the Nuge.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
That was on the same album as Sabotage. I think that was Ill Communication, if I'm not mistaken.
But it was also on the anthology. That's where I heard his Benny and the Jets, which is just a train wreck of a song that's thoroughly entertaining, especially at the end when he's just going insane.
Yeah, you gotta love Biz Markie.
I wish he was a member of Blackstreet.
Damn straight.
I mean, Blackstreet's doing all right without him, though. Like,
they're okay.
I do like the fact that Dre separates Blackstreet and Teddy, even though Teddy is a member of Blackstreet.
Yeah.
But Teddy's bigger than Blackstreet, right? Because we've discussed.
Evidently, and Blackstreet had to live with that. Blackstreet had to live with that every day of their life, I guess.
Yeah, just Teddy walking in and be like, remember, y'all ain't know without me.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go do this show.
Nobody would even notice if he replaced the entirety of the group.
I think two of the members were replaced, actually.
Yeah,
wow.
There were.
This is Blackstreet's second album, and like two of the members, I think, were replaced from the first album to this one.
Oh, boy.
The other guy, Chauncey, he stayed, but like
two. And that's why his name is said in this song.
Yeah.
Only Teddy and Chauncey's names are said in the song.
Yeah, that speaks volumes.
So there,
Queen Penn talks to Teddy about Chauncey.
He does.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Queen Penn. Like the two main members. The other two members are
interchangeable.
This is
the male Destiny's Child, right?
There you go.
You have to have Kelly Rowland and Beyonce. Well, obviously, you have to have Beyonce.
You need the Queen Bee.
You have to have Kelly Rowland.
Yeah, Kelly Rowland.
Maybe you need Michelle, maybe not.
Michelle's good. Michelle.
She's there, but Michelle is not original.
There were two other babes.
Who knows even who they are?
Yeah, they left under...
Awkward
circumstances. Yes, very much so.
I don't know anything about the biography of Destiny's Child.
Well, we've just educated you. You got a little tidbit.
Do you not subscribe to their newsletter?
No, I get the emails, but those go straight to my junk folder. Yeah.
Do you not have their zine or whatever?
Are you guys ready to talk about sex positivity?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'm just going to like lay it out there so that we can discuss it throughout the song.
Okay.
You guys can talk about whatever you want to, but I'll discuss it throughout the song.
All right.
According to the International Society for Sexual Medicine, to be sex positive means to have positive attitudes about sex and feeling comfortable with one's own sexual identity and the sexual behavior of others. And there are kind of four key ways of of thinking that are included in this. The first one is an understanding of the physical, emotional, and psychological needs of one's partner, or really of other people when it comes to sex or sexual identity. The next has to do with being comfortable with the fact with a sexual partner, like, not wanting to have sex sometimes. So, like, consent and being respectful of consent and being able to ask questions about consent is part of sex positivity. A sex positive attitude includes considering safe sex important. And ultimately, a sex positive attitude means accepting others safe and consensual. No, pause. Consensual is a fun portmanteau.
That is a fun portmanteau.
Not what I meant to say. Accepting others safe and consensual sexual practices. This song ticks off all four boxes.
Boom.
Starting right with boxes, no pun intended.
Are you sure about that?
No. I came so close to saying something, but yeah. Now I won't.
No, starting right with play on playettes.
Yeah.
Play on playettes shows that Blackstreet is accepting of other people's safe and conceptual.
There it is again. Whoa.
It's fun to say.
Dear Mr. Freud.
Seriously.
Conceptual is just like a faster way to get to consensual.
So we'll just use say, yeah, let's just say conceptual.
Safe and conceptual practices.
Okay.
It makes total sense.
Well, all right. So, starting with playettes.
The whole phrase, play on playettes, like,
right.
Do your thing, women who are players.
Yes.
Is very accepting of female sexuality.
Yeah. That's saying, you go, strong woman. Mm-hmm. I support you and I find you attractive.
Yeah. Well. And the narrator of the song doesn't mind that she's a playette.
Right.
He's cool with it, man.
Cool, yeah. We often,
I'm down if you're down, and then tomorrow we can go our separate ways.
That's right.
We often celebrate men as players, right? Like,
sure.
It's not necessarily an insult to say that.
Or those who crush a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I just crush a lot. Also fine. But we don't often celebrate women as players. But to say, like, to start the song with the idea of, like, play on, play it, that's already saying, like, you go, girl, you do your thing.
That's right. It's a beautiful song.
It's gorgeous.
My God.
Gorgeous.
Why did Lilith Fair doing more
slowly? This should have been at Lilith Fair.
I would absolutely love to see the Indigo Girls cover this song. There's certainly, I don't care for seeing the Indigo Girls cover much of anything, to be honest with you.
Sarah McLachlan covered a song, I'm just saying.
No, that would be, Paula Cole.
Oh, that's
would
a
do a great
one.
Job with this one.
Joan Osborne.
Sean Colvin.
Oh, I'm trying to think of other names, like coffee shop.
Fiona Apple.
Fiona Apple's really good, though, but yeah.
People love
her
Fiona
first album
Apple.
Was amazing, that's all. That's, I will.
Whoa, broke something. Maybe.
Let's chop that up in post. her first album title is really good.
I mean, I like Shadow Boxer and Criminal just fine, but it's not my thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Sleep to Dream?
I don't know that one.
That's the first track off of the title.
Okay.
Listen, I think title is a very good album, and her other stuff is, her other albums afterwards are very strong as well.
Did you like Jill Sobule?
I did. The one song. I kissed a girl.
What about Supermodel?
Oh, wait. Two songs. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about this before.
Yes, I know.
Forgot. Stop challenging my memory. I know what you're
that
doing.
That wasn't a memory
that
challenge. That was not a memory challenge.
You heard it here first and second.
Are you sure? Are you sure they heard it here first and not second? Katie,
you heard
this is the
first.
Second time you've heard it here first.
Oh boy.
She had two songs I liked at least.
All right, so I liked two songs.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know if she appeared at Lilith Fair. So.
All right.
Who knows?
We'll find up. Is Lilith Fair still a thing?
Yeah.
Well, they need to play No Diggity to get the people back into it.
Seriously, if we just have a massive collection of, like, modern female, like, folk rock artists covering No Diggity.
Just this song. Yes. Everyone plays this song.
It's a
day.
Huge festival,
yes.
But it's just the one song.
Annie DeFranco, get on it. Call Chauncey. Let's do this today.
Chauncey, get Chauncey and Teddy up there.
A little Ani DeFranco, Chauncey, Teddy.
Yeah.
Mashup.
I mean, I'll buy.
Collaboration.
Put them in overalls.
They got my money.
that stage.
They got my money. I'm buying my ticket tonight.
And you know she has overalls. She definitely has overalls.
A lot of people had overalls in the 90s. It was a big thing.
It has been January for less than 2 weeks, and we've already come up with two great festival ideas.
Ladies of the 80s. And just an all-female.
The playette's playing on.
Playette's playing on.
God. I mean, guys, come on. We're just making money for someone.
Exactly. Ka-ching, ka-ching. The original rough shakers. Shutting down, good Lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around.
Should someone read the second verse?
Yeah, Darren, would you mind getting into verse two for us?
Sure. Where is it? Shorty get down, good Lord. Baby got him open all over town. Strictly biz, she don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Getting paid is her forte, each and every day, true player way. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow.
East side to the west side, pushing fat rides. It's no surprise. She's got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average, she's on when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I want to get in. Can I get down so I can win?
Lovely.
Right?
So I'm going to say something weird here.
Okay.
Right?
Like it happened before, or?
It's just another weird thing.
Gotcha.
So, reading this, I feel like I know what it's about.
Yeah.
But, like, the individual lines are confusing to me. It's the way I felt when I was reading Shakespeare in high school.
Huh.
And so, Katie, I'm going to assign you the task of being my high school English teacher.
Okay.
And walking me through this as if it were Shakespeare in order to get the point of the verse.
What do you think it's about?
He's admiring the way a lady looks. A playette, as it were.
I think it's more than the looks.
Well, also her hustle, as it turns out.
Like,
what specific type of lady is he admiring? Is the question that I would ask you.
Looks like a prostitute. It seems like a prostitute.
I mean, is she a prostitute? It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that. It's heavily inferred that she is.
Yeah.
Heavily implied that she is.
Really? You think she's a woman of the night?
Yeah.
What? I just think she's like a woman who like makes money through her means.
She makes money through sex.
But not through, it doesn't say through sex. It just says like.
She's strictly this. So she's got him open all over town, and she's strictly biz.
She's got them open.
But I mean, if she's open over all town, that means like a lot of guys think she's the shit. But that doesn't mean she's selling.
But Darren, what does she have open all over town?
Like she has guys open like their eyes and their noses. Like whoa, she got me open.
Perhaps it's a different body part.
It wouldn't be outside of the realm of possibility to suggest that she has her legs open all over town.
Maybe
she's a businesswoman and she has franchises open
and
all over town.
And she's strictly business about it, which would mean prostitution. Now,
possible.
I don't think the song is about insulting her in any way at all.
Right.
Okay.
She's a perfect 10.
And getting paid is her forte.
Right.
Right.
So getting cash, presumably for sex, is what she's good at.
Like, well, I don't know if I agree with that, but okay. I see what you're saying.
What is it that makes you think that that's not the case?
I just saw it as like a woman who is kind of about her business. I mean, I don't see her maybe at the prostitute, or maybe she's a woman who kind of, you know, knows she's very attractive, and maybe she just gets with like a lot of well-off men. And
she got tricks in the stash. Now, turning tricks.
It could, I guess.
I mean,
this is all just blowing my mind right now. But I guess I could.
You spent 28 and a half years. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
This is like when I find out Roxanne's about a prostitute. Like,
yeah, I hear you, man.
Like, what?
She's got tricks in the stash is one of my favorite puns in the whole verse. Like, she's got tricks as in, like, tricks of the trade, but also, like, turning tricks as in prostitution.
I guess so.
It's like a great pun.
I guess so. But I mean, also that maybe because like, oh, she can trick a guy into like doing what, like she's in control, so she tricks, not tricks, but like she, like dudes do
what she wants them to do,
and she's very wealthy.
Yeah,
because she's a playette.
What was the name of that Heidi Fleiss? She's the Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah.
of Blackstreet songs.
Maybe. I mean, I don't need her to be a prostitute for this song to work, but I think in several places, not just in the second verse, there's some association between sex and money that's suggestive of, like, taking money for sexual acts. But I think...
getting paid is her forte.
Even if she is a prostitute, in the context of this song, it's depicted in a way that is, like,
that's celebratory, fine.
Not judgmental.
I was...
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying there.
I would like to... what's the word I'm looking for? I would like to patronize her business. Is what that's what this song is saying.
I would like to acquire her services.
Yeah.
Good evening, m'lady.
I see that you have game by the pounds. Might I be able to purchase some of that game?
And one of the ways that this verse fits with sex positivity is that it does highlight consent, because at the end of the verse, he asks, "Can I get down? Can I get down so I can win?" So it's not like, I'm going to get down or I'm going to get in those pants. It's asking, like,
right,
as a question, would it be okay with you, young miss, if I were to get in for a win?
Would you mind if I were to step inside your fat ride?
Right. If I got inside your fat ride and got in your vagina for a win, would that be okay with you? I love it. I think that's great.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. It's
Annie DeFranco again. Like, just, come on. What more do you need?
Four non-blondes need to get on top.
Oh.
Let me be clear. I'm only 30% comical about this. I'm 70% serious.
Yeah, I didn't think you were any percent comical about it, so I'm very happy to hear that. I thought
we were all serious. Are we not all serious here?
I mean, we're all very silly, but I want to just make it clear that, like, when I talk about the sex positivity...
I agree.
It's, like, legit.
It's like when I was re-listening to this song and, you know, looking at the lyrics, I'm like, oh wow, this is a lot more progressive and, you know, mm-hmm, female positive than I thought it was.
In the midst of an era of, like, bitches and hoes, we have Play On, Play It. I love it. It's gorgeous.
Katie, do you want to wrap it up by just reading the refrain here?
So the refrain is, I like the way you work it, no diggity, I gotta bag it up. Bag it up. I like the way you work it. No diggity. I gotta bag it up. Bag it up, girl. I like the way you work it. No diggity. I gotta bag it up. Bag it up. I like the way you work it. No diggity. I gotta bag it up. Get up. Can I just launch into the two things I have to say about
Please.
That?
Please. Let's go.
Number one is, if she is a prostitute, I like the way you work it is also a nice pun.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're working it, but also it's your job.
I guess.
I know what a pun is, Katie.
Ooh.
Settle down, sir.
Oh, boy. It's getting awkward.
We're going to have one more beer.
One more beer, and then I'm leaving.
Maybe one more beer, and then I'm going.
And I'm like, regardless... So can we agree that bagging it up is wearing a condom?
Yes.
I thought it always just meant, like, just, you know, I'll scoop her up or I'll claim that.
Put it in a bag, let me take it home.
Yeah, like you put her in a duffel bag. No,
that's a nefarious intent right there.
Creepy. I apologize for that immediately.
Well, if you remove her head and her limbs, then you can fit her nicely inside.
Whoa.
I was about to say that Darren had a very innocent perception of the song until he suggested that we put this woman in a duffel bag and then remove her head and limbs.
I'm just saying, if you want her to fit inside this convenient carry-all case.
I'm just saying, like, a human-sized duffel bag, so she could be whole.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not sick. I'm not saying...
I mean, you're never getting that on overhead, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm not Dexter.
No.
Guys, backing it up is wearing a condom. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You know what,
condom.
I thought it just meant, like, you know, like, not bag her up, but, like, to, you know, let me scoop her up. Like, let
puns,
me
though.
Holla.
Puns, and wherever this is full. Of puns.
Teddy Riley was not messing around with the writing here.
I think this is really well written.
It's great stuff.
And might I add that if bagging it up is wearing a condom, then that means Blackstreet considers safe sex important, which also means that Blackstreet is sex positive.
More like Woke Street. What? What?
Oh, you sound like a youth now.
Thank you. Is there a young person here?
I'm a millennial.
I do.
Isn't it funny that we're all too old to be millennials?
Old millennial. I did look up the definition of the phrase no diggity.
Hit me.
Because no diggity itself has no meaning.
Yeah, it's just a word.
It's just a fillable. It's just a filler syllable.
Yeah.
No diggity obviously means no doubt, as we've learned from reading the intro to this song. And then there's bomb diggity, which means fantastic, awesome, the best.
Yeah. Right.
But diggity itself...
It's just a nonsense word.
It's just a nonsense word that did not exist until Blackstreet came along.
Really? Is no diggity the origin of diggity?
It's at the very least the origin of the phrase no diggity.
I feel like it might have existed, like, you know, somewhere like in the ethos, like in the street, but then like Blackstreet
certainly
brought
wasn't
it
to, mainstream. Yeah,
yeah, like the way like Will Smith brought you know, getting jiggy with it, and like everybody started saying jiggy.
Was jiggy around before that?
I feel like it might have been like a year or two before.
But jiggy at least has like a logical etymological development, because a jig is a dance, and to get jiggy with it is to dance.
Oh,
so
you, like, you know what? I
said yeah, but if you're digging,
this is what I do. Definitely.
But if you're digging. Digging kind of looks like you're dancing, like, without a shovel.
But
you so dig, like, I'm...
Like, you dance like you're digging?
Yeah, that like, you ever done this?
Doing the very Bo Derek's doing it now, too, and no one can see it. It's so sad.
But it's a good dance. You never seen that one?
You didn't, I don't do the grave digger. That's
you ever do this?
That's your move?
You ever do this, like, at a wedding? When
yeah.
You know?
These two are just moving their arms like they're shoveling.
It's like, but we don't have shovels, so it's like, you know... Dancing, it's
and a, I'm like, yeah, I don't do that.
It's the diggity.
I don't,
it's the diggity no. dance.
Diggity. I stand by the open bar.
sometimes I pull up a chair and sit by the open bar. As a matter of fact,
I'm like, keep them coming.
It's efficient.
Brad Whitley likes to dance.
Yeah, I do. Oh. I do.
And also, the word diggity has nothing to do with dancing. So your whole grave digger explanation makes no sense.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yikes. Oh, wow. Denied.
So, but I did feel the need to look up the word diggity.
I like that you did.
Yeah, because now it's common knowledge what the phrase no diggity means.
It means no doubt.
Yeah.
Probably in like a Urban Dictionary, but probably like a...
Well, I'm on Urban Dictionary. I looked this up on Urban Dictionary. I bet if I go to like Webster's...
Is it, don't tell me it's in Webster's. Is it in Webster's?
Yeah. We're going to find out. That's what we're going to do.
That would be weird. Oh, boy.
All right, let's see. What dictionary defines?
Well, if you Google the word diggity, no diggity is the first thing that comes up.
The results for diggity, slang, chocolate rain, and it's...
Chocolate rain?
Like Tazon Day.
Oh my god.
Chocolate rain turns the baby dead before the... I don't know the word.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember that song. I was like,
it's what is this?
Yeah.
It's only associated with no diggity or bomb diggity.
Right.
It's a partially reduplicative form used in word games or idioms. No diggity, no doubt, or bomb diggity, excellent. It does not, Brad's right, it does not have any meaning of its own, although you could take it back to hot diggity, dog diggity.
I have said diggity dope.
But you made that up, or someone
did
made
I make
it up.
That up?
I don't know, someone made it up.
Obvious. I mean, yes. Somebody made that up.
Somebody made it up.
Diggity.
You mean somebody within, like, my immediate circle?
Like, the phrase... Oh, God. Now I'm thinking about it, though. That's old. Like, what's the origin of the hot diggity, dog diggity?
Oh, hot diggity dog. Yeah. Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog diggity. That's a thing. Like, how old is that?
It's getting good old. Song. It's getting
good old. I just want to sit back and watch you saying. I'm like, oh, wow. She's getting literal with it.
Hot diggity, dog diggity. Let's see what goes on here.
What you do to me?
Perry Como, hot diggity, dog ziggity boom. Dog ziggity boom. It's a Perry Como song.
There you go.
How old is it?
1956.
Okay, so diggity actually goes way further back than we originally thought.
These guys were old school.
And it has some kind of cheerful connotation.
Yeah.
That's all that we know.
Yeah.
Ziggity, however, did not pick up.
No.
Ziggity?
No ziggity.
Dog ziggity boom.
That, yeah.
Hot diggity dog.
I don't remember hearing that out in the streets.
No, that doesn't work. I didn't hear that in the suburbs either, so.
Hot diggity dog diggity. Until, like, just now. We had a whole conversation about how Blackstreet made up the sounds diggity.
Right. But they didn't.
They didn't! We discovered it right here, right now.
Wow. We're breaking some ground here.
We are!
We're through the looking glass.
This is a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah. It really is.
Wow.
Wow. You're welcome, America.
And other parts of the world.
And other parts of the world. Yeah.
They're all welcome.
Yes, everyone's. You're welcome, world.
Yeah, we're a super inclusive podcast, by the way. Everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're welcome, kind of welcome as well.
Yes, I was like, all are welcome. All are welcome.
Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time. Wow.
Where did we end up?
Verse 3, Black Street, she's got class and style.
She's got class and style. Street knowledge by the pound. Baby never act wild. Very low-key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Herb's the word. It's probably Herb's the word.
Yeah. Herb. I thought Greece was the word.
Just like a man named Herb.
Herbert is the word. Spins the verb.
Lovers and curves.
I can read, Darren.
I'm trying to help you out, man.
Lovers and curves. So freak what you heard. Rolling with the fatness. P-H-A-T. You don't even know what the half is. You gotta pay to play. Just for shorty. Bang, bang. To look your way. I like the way you work it. Trump tight all day, every day. You're blowing my mind. Maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my ride. Where does one start?
Okay, now that I read this, it might be about a prostitute.
It might.
Pay to play.
A Trump tight
prostitute. All right, fine. Yeah. Maybe it's about a prostitute. Maybe.
What lines read prostitute to you?
You gotta pay to play.
Yeah.
Just for shorty bang bang to look your way. But I mean, or then maybe again, it could be just about a strong, confident woman who is about a strong man who has a lot of money.
See, actually, I think it's more empowering. I don't know why, but I think it's more empowering if it's about a prostitute than if it's about a gold digger. Because in the context of this song, it would be about a prostitute who's running her own business. So she, like, doesn't need a man to get by. She's, like, doing her job to get her cash. But if she's a gold digger, then that implies, like, the need for the man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretend to have a kid 18 years later. Find out it's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying she's a gold digger.
I'm not saying that.
Hype Williams.
Nice. Yeah.
I remembered something.
Was that a Hype Williams video?
It was a Hype Williams video. Boy. I said it earlier.
There were so many videos, Darren.
There were.
How could I possibly be expected to remember one of them?
What I like about this is that just like in a kind of sex positive context, he respects her emotional needs because he understands that, quote, catching feelings is a no.
Yeah.
Right? So he knows that, like, this is just a physical relationship, and he's totally respectful of that.
No kiss on the lips.
It's a beautiful song.
Can we talk?
No kiss on the lips. Even for the pretty woman.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Can we talk about Herb's the word, spins the verb?
I'm not sure what that's about.
I mean, herb has to be pot, right?
I would assume. If it's pronounced herb, but it might be pronounced herb.
Herb's the word.
I mean, I know, like, herb is like an old school slang about like a guy who's like kind of a dorky, like, oh, he's a herb. So I don't know if it means that, or it could be herb, like weed. Or maybe some guy named Herb. Like,
maybe.
Maybe it's about Herb Albert. I don't know.
The problem is Herb comes at the beginning of the statement, so it's capitalized. So I can't tell if it's...
capitalized because it's a name or just capitalized because it's the start of a line.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's ambiguous.
It is ambiguous. Who is this Herb fellow?
And the line before
who is this dork Herb?
This Herb dork.
This is the real problem with it. The line before it is, let me tell you how this goes. And then you have the most indecipherable line in the entire song, right? Herb's the word, spins the verb. You're going to tell me how it goes and then follow that with a line that makes zero sense whatsoever?
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Lovers at curves, so freak what you heard. Freak what you heard is obvious.
Yeah, it's like whatever. Yeah, whatever. Have you heard?
Forget everything you heard.
Forget about it. But
did you do the Sopranos?
Oh, you're guess we're so New Jersey. That was right.
You've assimilated to New Jersey culture.
I guess I'm Jersey now. Sorry about New York.
Don't ever apologize. You are who you are.
I've become one with the Garden State.
That's what it does. It sucks you in.
It leaves its stink on you.
Every time I try to get out, it brings me back in. But you don't even know what the half is. You got to pay the point.
What is Lovers at Curves, though?
I don't know. Like, I guess if you want to fall in love, she'll curve it, or she'll curve you, hit you to the curb.
He says immediately before that spins the verb, but then he follows it up with curve as the verb.
Maybe this is about changing it up. Like, it spins the verb, it curves away from lovers, like... It's referring to as like what she does with a man, there's like a spin on it. Like the verb would be what you're doing, right? Spins what you're typically doing with a lady around. It's a curve away from what lovers do together.
Hmm.
So like it's a different take on a getting down kind of relationship. Now, I think I'm giving those two lines a lot of credit here. I actually think they're the weakest part of the song because they don't read as clearly as a lot of the rest of it does, but I think you can make some sense out of it.
That makes the most sense, what you said.
Well, what about the next bit? Rolling with the fatness, you don't even know what the half is.
I mean, that's easy because, she's rolling. She walks down the street, with the fat, the P-H-A-T, fatness.
Yeah, she's
pretty
fat.
Pretty hot and tempting.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Somebody saw Money Talks. But yeah.
Somebody saw the advertisements for Money Talks.
Well, hey, that's good enough for me.
The trailers that appeared, yeah.
But yeah. So she's just rolling with the fatness. I mean, she's walking down the street looking, fly as all hell.
And then the next line is, you don't even know what the half is. So if she's pretty hot and tempting just from looking at her, like, you don't even know the half of it until you've asked her permission to get in there.
You gotta pay to play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is like a hip-hop version of Maneater, right?
Right? Does that really, like, get you?
It does.
It speaks to your soul right there. It
warms me right in
the cockles of your heart.
Oh, man. My God. It's hot and warm.
You want to know why I like this song better, though, than Maneater?
Why is that?
Because this has a more positive connotation.
It sure does.
Because Maneater, even though I like that song, has, like, a negative connotation to it. But this has such a positive...
You watch out for that vixen over there, that minx.
This is more like, you go get her if you can, and you respect that we're not going to catch feelings.
Yeah, that's very true.
Most of the time, sexy women are evil or dangerous or both. But here, this sexy woman is just to be respected.
That's a beautiful thing.
She's allowed to be sexy, and she's allowed to use her sexiness to her benefit.
Yeah. What I cannot get over.
No, that's amazing. It's
this song, and I never thought of it this way before today.
It's a beautiful thing. It's like one of those things where, like, whenever a guy is seen as, just about his business and his money and his women, he's, like, kind of revered. But when a woman does that, they kind of, like, look down on that.
I really hope that when Teddy Riley inevitably hears this episode of this podcast.
And he will.
He just in his car, just going, arms in the air, just thank you.
Somebody thank you. Me.
Brad, Katie, get it.
Intern. You're a part of this now, buddy.
Hey, Teddy.
You're sucked in.
Hit me up. I'm free to do your next
Darren Credible.
Darren Credible.
At DarrenCredible.com. Yeah. DarrenCredible.com. Just hit me up on Twitter, man. Just at me, son.
At Teddy Riley.
In a modern context. And I mean modern as in now, not as in 23 years ago.
Gotcha. Was it 23 years?
It's hard to say that something's Trump type.
Yeah.
It's icky. It's a little icky.
Is he referencing like the man Trump or just the word?
Or like Trump card.
Yeah, because Trump is a verb, but
he is also a term talking president. About...
How would one conjugate Trump?
I don't even know.
He trumped, I trumped, you trumped.
Yeah, like Trump. This trumps
that. This trumps that. And clearly that's how it's meant in the song, but the phrase Trump tight is very cringy now.
I would love to bring back the phrase Trump tight. There was some stupid shit just like, that is Trump tight.
You need an urban dictionary definition for that in a modern context. Let's think about it.
Gotta figure out a good one.
What does it mean? I'm not sure yet.
Oof. Oh my God.
You're blowing my mind. Maybe in time. Maybe I can get you in.
Maybe
my...
in time.
He can't even afford this lady's services.
Right. Like, he's in his mind, he's putting her on layaway.
Yeah.
Like, maybe someday.
So I'll give you $3 now.
Yes. We'll come back in a couple months.
Yeah.
Put down a down payment and hopefully we'll see what we'll see.
He's
what
just happens. Hoping that eventually.
Yeah.
I can save up enough money.
Yeah, he's pining for her. Like, maybe.
He is pining.
Maybe in time.
He might fall in love in that time.
Yeah.
It's possible. He doesn't even think he can afford to get her in his apartment. Just, like, in his ride.
Hopefully, in his ride.
If it's someday. Possible, someday. And then there's, like, the catchiest part of the song.
Which says nothing part of the song. But it's basically, like, the guitar solo of the song.
Yeah. But it's where everybody is going to, like, sing along and put their hands in the air.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, hey, yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
Before we decided on this song, the chorus and the hey-o, hey-o is the only part I remembered of the song. I forgot that Dr. Dre and whoever Queen Penn is
were
even on this song.
Should I get to Queen Penn? Should Darren read us some Queen Penn?
Yeah, because that's my peeps and we roll deep. Flying first class from New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Not a motherfucking thing. Cartier wooden frame sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees the baddest click up on the scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake ass broads? I shows improves, no doubt. How? Predictably so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a playette's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block, I'm as real as can be. Word is bond. Faking moves never been my thing, so Tay, pass the word to your N-word Chauncey. I'd be sending the call, let's say around 3:30. Queen Penn and Black Street. It's no dignity.
Okay. I have several questions about this verse.
Okay.
Why was she included in the song?
I don't know.
I don't understand either, because like, she was kind of on the rise, but not really. She didn't really have, like, she didn't really pop off like that in the mainstream, but maybe either Teddy or Dr. Ray was. Chauncey was trying to put her on.
Chauncey is the only one that she, like, calls out by name. Well, Teddy. Never mind. I'm wrong.
I think maybe one of those guys that's like, oh, she can be the next big thing, so let me put her on this track type of deal. So maybe that's it. Maybe
That was a lost bet right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I think of. Maybe they were trying to make her the next big thing by putting her on this. And this would be like her introduction into the mainstream.
So for adult top 40 radio, this entire verse was edited out of the single.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that a lot. Like whenever, like with the Finesse song, like they'll edit out the whole Cardi B part. Or that Maroon 5 song she's on now. Edit out her part, depending on what the radio station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is controversial because I know people love her, but for me, you could edit out any Cardi B part.
Whoa. Any old Cardi B.
I'd be good with that.
Yes. This,
I know. I'm going to now start a Twitter war between me and Cardi B.
I'm clutching my pearls right now. You can't see it, listeners. But like,
those are nice pearls, though. I'm glad you wore your pearls to come visit us today.
Thank you.
Wolf sweater and pearls, Darren. You know, it's a classy gent.
I'm stepping out tonight. I'm fancy.
You already know. He's in the fast. I was going to say regarding a different song that we did. This feels like the Nicki Minaj part.
Yeah, very much so.
Bang bang.
Yeah.
So totally unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary. Yeah. Not saying anything about the girl who is working it.
It's like she didn't understand what the rest of the song was about. And
right.
She's the female representation in the song. It's a big disappointment for me, actually.
It sounds, yeah. I mean, I guess she's maybe rapping from the viewpoint of the woman that the guys are talking about.
I mean, mean, she does say, like, that's the way the plant's gotta be.
Yeah, so maybe she's rhyming from that viewpoint.
But I think the rest of the verse doesn't do a great job of that.
I agree. I think maybe she's the pimp of the playette. Cartier wooden frame sported by my shorty.
Oh, yeah, by my shorty. Oh,
interesting.
Oh, so yeah, maybe she's the pimp and, like... Oh,
we bees the baddest click up on the scene.
Oh, so like the two of them are a click.
She's selling you the playette. Aren't you getting bored with these fake ass broads?
Huh. I didn't even think of that.
Interesting.
This podcast makes me think of songs in a whole new light.
That's what we're trying to do here.
It's phenomenal.
It's our goal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way either.
Now, if you were interested in what time they were interested in banging, we've gotten answers in this
person.
3:30
p.m.
Immediately after school.
I'm thinking PM.
Yeah.
It's got to be AM, right? It's got, because like, that's like.
Because that's well past their bedtime.
Yeah, but no, this is for like the young folks. And the young folks stay up until the wee hours. Like, we, like we used to.
Darren, you sound like a youth.
So like the club.
I'm a millennial.
The club's closed at 3.
You're like an old millennial.
3:30.
Yeah, well, no, the club's closed at 4 in New York, and then back around 3:30. That's when you like you find somebody to hook up with, and then you go have relations.
Where you say I'm going to call up that...
In a beach house.
Where you somewhere. Say I'm going to... Okay, is it video time?
Yeah, let's talk about the video.
Okay.
Let's do it.
There are several different settings. There's the beach house.
Yes.
Then there's highway
it's just
like dancing.
A street.
It's
yeah.
just
yeah,
it's
a just, black street, if you it's, will.
It is a black street.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, like most of them are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, most roads are
black.
Paved in yeah, such a way that they are black.
You don't see too many like blue streets.
There's the odd gravel street.
Yes, the gravel roads and.
Mm-hmm. But even that has bits of black in it.
True. but yeah, it's just like a bunch of like limousines parked on streets and then. With knee pads.
And then some dancers with knee
they
pads.
They are such good dancers.
That's like straight out of In Living Color.
That's back when they had like dancers in every R&B video back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. Beautiful. And then there's the odd shot at the bar with puppets.
Yes, they're marionettes. Like, as you know, I'm sure that was taken straight from the old Nike commercial.
Oh, yeah, that Little Penny.
Little Penny. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Do you remember that? Or?
No, I don't. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
So, what was his name? Anthony
Hardaway.
Hardaway.
Played
yeah,
for the Penny, Orlando Magic.
Penny Hardaway, big famous basketball player at the time.
His nickname was Penny.
Yeah. Why was his
name? Anthony, nickname Penny.
I'm not sure why his nickname was Penny, but it was
Penny is not short for Anthony. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
That much I know for
but
certain.
It's a fine nickname. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, what Darren's talking about is this Nike campaign that came out around the time. And
yeah, he came out with his own sneaker.
Yeah. And they had a puppet, Little
like a
Penny.
Little marionette.
Who was basically like a trash talking puppet.
Yeah, yeah. Voiced by Chris Rock.
No kidding.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. He did the voice of the.
Ideally. Yeah. It was a very popular ad.
It was a very popular commercial. Like, it came out like around 95, 96, around the same time this song came out. It was a big deal.
And the puppet was like the exact same as the Blackstreet puppets.
Yes, very much so.
But the odd thing about the Blackstreet puppets to me is that there's two members of Blackstreet that have puppet likenesses and then a Bill Withers puppet.
Yeah.
Is that the wow wow?
Yeah.
The one playing the guitar, the old puppet.
The old dude who's clearly not a member of Blackstreet.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's the bald guy.
Yeah.
In the, is that Chauncey?
That's Chauncey.
The Falcons?
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. Chauncey.
There's Teddy and Chauncey.
Teddy and Chauncey.
Then they don't give a... Who
Nobody gets, else in this group is important.
Like members of the
They're band. The new members. They're interchangeable. No one cares.
Useless members of Blackstreet.
Hard playing marionette with gray hair and a beard.
Yeah. That's Bill Withers. That's,
I don't know who Bill Withers is.
Bill Withers is a singer-songwriter.
From the 70s. You know Bill Withers.
You know Ain't No Sunshine.
I love that song.
Yeah.
You know Lovely Day?
I do, huh?
What was their
other...
Day,
Bill Withers'
day.
Other big solo.
He did Lean On Me.
Oh, my God.
Lean On Me.
Lean On Me was probably his most popular song.
Bill Withers.
Use Me.
Use Me, that's,
People
yes.
People using me.
Yeah.
Use me.
This is a very famous person's name, I know.
Yeah, Bill Withers is a great singer. He's had some hits.
Yeah.
Why is he one of the puppets?
Because the song samples a Bill Withers song.
Right.
okay.
But the crazy thing is, so Blackstreet is basically Chauncey,
yeah,
Teddy,
yeah,
and two other guys who are just there to sing in harmony, No Diggity.
Yes.
There's more Dr. Dre in Blackstreet than there is two other guys.
Yes.
There's more Queen Penn.
Yeah.
Yeah. She rolls deep.
Queen Penn had a bigger impact on Blackstreet than several of the members. Yeah.
Yeah. She flies first class from New York City to
Blackstreet.
Where is Blackstreet?
I don't know. I think it's
Teddy Riley's from Harlem.
Yeah, yeah. I think
Blackstreet. You don't fly from New York City to Harlem.
Right. You have to go through JFK.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
You gotta get a connecting flight. I think Blackstreet, the other two guys just do not matter.
They don't matter at all.
Not at all.
Those poor guys.
Inconsequential.
They were probably like, we've got a number one hit. It's huge. We're going to be famous forever. We're going to be set for life. I can finally buy mom that car I want to buy.
Well, they probably could. And they do some great singing on the song.
They do.
One guy's like riffing at the end of the song, and he does a great job.
Yeah, it was Peter Frampton noise that he did.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Peter Frampton noise. That wah, wah, wah.
That, and that is in the song.
What's that called exactly? Like the,
it's a talk box. Yeah. And it's you know, most famously Peter Frampton.
Okay.
You know, do you feel like I do, or show me the way.
What is the exact sound that you're referring to, just because our listeners have no idea what you're talking about?
I'll edit it in.
Okay.
But it appears in the song for approximately 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Two other things I enjoy about this video, by the way, are the overalls.
Overalls, let's get into it.
Because, like, everybody in the mid-90s had to have some overalls, and they've got overalls in every outfit.
Get your Oshkosh bagosh on.
I had a pair of Carhartt overalls, I'm not afraid to say I'm not ashamed to say that. I think I pulled it off.
You still have them?
No.
In.
I was going to say your next gig.
Just overall, like,
unless you bring back the 90s. I want you to, like, the tallest, like, fade you can get. Like,
just, oh, shit.
And the overalls. I want you to look like a kid in play movie. And just, like,
wear a pair of Feli cross colors, something or other.
They're in white overalls, guys.
I know.
A lot of this.
And, that's hard to find.
And denim overalls. There are multiple.
Yeah.
Kinds of overalls.
So they have, like, fully clipped, you know, like both sides clipped white overalls with black shirts and black boots in parts of the video, especially when they dance very briefly with the ladies. Actually, the ladies dance and they just, like, hold their arms out. Like
they jump through the hoop. Like I'm training our dog to do that.
And then when they're coming towards the camera, as we described earlier, sort of the precursor to the fisheye style of Hype Williams. They're in overalls, but they all have, like, a variety of styles for wearing the overalls, where some of them have, like, folded down all together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe it's...
Because, like, I know there was, like, a couple of ways to wear overalls back. Like, some people wear them with both straps on. Some people wear one strap.
There's so many options.
Sometimes you do the one strap, like you're wearing, like a backpack, like
Didn't
a dance board.
Criss Cross wear them backwards?
Criss Cross wore all their stuff backwards,
Yeah, sometimes they wore, like, the big baggy baseball jerseys backwards.
But
I knew one guy in junior high that did it and kind of pulled it off.
Cool.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, Blackstreet was essentially, like, an R&B boy band. And so they all had to have different personalities. Yeah. So you get the one guy with no clips, and you get the one guy with one clip, and you get the other guy with both clips, and then you get the last guy who wore a jacket over it or something. I don't know what
he's the wild card.
He's the wild. He's
a bad boy. Does whatever he wants with his overalls.
Absolutely. He doesn't give a freak.
I wear no clips. I just pull it up.
If I may quote earlier in this song.
Overalls were so popular the mid-90s that when I got dressed up for my 8th grade yearbook picture, what I wore as my dress up outfit was a pair of overalls and a long sleeve striped t-shirt.
Do you have your 8th grade yearbook somewhere?
Time to post something up on Instagram.
Are you willing to put yourself out there
I would put it out there if I can find a picture. I know I can definitely find a picture of my 8th grade self. I don't know if I can find a picture of me in that outfit, but I will try.
Okay. Katie. lady. I have dreams.
It's not good. I had cut my hair short and dyed it red, like trying to be Claire Danes in my so-called life, but wow. I was too young and like still slightly pubescently chubby for that, and I had braces.
I gotta so see this.
There was a lot going on.
I need to see this.
Like, seriously, I think we all need to see this.
People deserve to see it. And
people across the world.
I'm not embarrassed. If I can find it, I'll share it, but I'm not sure where it would be.
I feel like a lot of people had that, like, the yearbook picture of them in Old World, because I was on another podcast where we just talked about the 90s, mm-hmm. and, like, I brought up overalls, and the guy whose podcast it was.
Probably bangs along with
he
them.
Did. He had a yearbook picture of himself in overall, and he had, like,
the flop cut.
Yeah, like, the kind of floppy, yeah. like, kind of...
You shave underneath and let it go long on the top.
Yeah. Not
like,
yeah.
like a bowl on your head.
Not quite a bowl cut, but it was kind of, like, longer.
It was the skater cut.
Yeah, like, kind yeah. of bangs, like long bangs, I guess, in your
Absolutely.
Face.
Absolutely. I knew so many people like, with
the,
that.
The striped long sleeve shirt and overall.
My mother did not like that cut. I wanted and it, but she said it was ridiculous. So.
The same, though.
Yeah.
Your mom wouldn't allow that haircut for you?
Absolutely not. Oh. You have no idea, like, the tyrannical rule we were under.
Okay. Did you want that haircut?
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Because that's what that cool kid's got, and I wanted to look cool.
I'm 0% surprised that you were not allowed to have it.
Yeah.
Wait, so did you ever grow your hair long, or did you ever do something to rebel? Like,
no.
Mohawk or something?
No. I wore a lot of sweater vests, and then I joined a ska band.
Okay. So it fit right in. Learn some No Doubt songs.
You see those two people over there in that picture frame?
Oh, yeah.
Those would not let me.
Oh, look at that.
Very, very straight-laced.
Absolutely. We went to church on Sunday, and what would the Lord think? So.
He can see you every day.
I'm not going to have my son look like some beatnik.
Exactly.
Oh, certainly didn't wear overalls with one strap.
And I definitely was never going to own a pair of JNCO jeans, I'll tell you that much.
Guys, I give the song an A.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's intertextuality.
Right.
There's puns. There's sex positivity. That's a clear theme.
Right.
I love this song.
Yeah.
I didn't know until today that I loved this song, but I love it.
It's a great song.
I expected it to be more absurd.
Eargasm is pretty ridiculous, yeah. but I like it.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great visual point. Painting your head. Paints pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does.
Dirty, dirty pictures.
So do I speak for all of us when I say windows down, radio up?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no diggity.
No doubt.
Yeah. Oh. See what I did there?
Oh, man. That would have been a great note to end on.
We all saw what you did there.
I almost took this mic out the stand and dropped it. It was that strong.
Oh, please don't. This stuff is so expensive.
I know.
I already broke a mic stand tonight. I don't need a...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
Figure that out. Darren, would you do us a favor and tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on the interwebs, on Instagram and Twitter, at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. So you can find me doing shows around town, DarrenCredible.com. My next show will be, I'm doing a storytelling show in Maplewood, New Jersey on Saturday, January 26th, 8 a.m. at the Bergdorf Cultural Center in Maplewood. So come out, see me tell stories. It'll be different than what I usually do, because usually I tell jokes.
Yeah, You said it was basically like telling life stories, kind of.
8 a.m. It's in the morning.
What did I say? Did I say 8 a.m.?
You said 8 a.m.
No, 8 p.m. 8 p.m.
Oh,
don't,
goodness.
Don't get there at 8 in the morning. Go to work. It's 8 a.m.
Not on a Saturday. Don't go to work.
Some people work on Saturday. I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe
waiters,
a weekend job.
You know,
I don't know.
Retail. Like, yeah, customer
yeah,
service.
Retail. Job. I don't know what your life is, people.
How much?
I normally work on Saturday.
Oh, you do.
Oh.
Well, I'll go without you.
It's at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. I'm so sorry. Yes, I've been drinking. 8 p.m.
I'm having one more beer.
One more beer.
And then I'm out of here.
Taking two more with me, and then I'm out of here.
And of course, your podcasts.
Yeah, I got podcasts. SNL Nerds. Find us on Instagram and Google Play and Stitcher and nonproductive.com, non-productive.com. And my other podcast, the Virgin Chronicles podcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And follow us on Twitter there at Virgin Crown Pod. And SNL Nerds, we don't have a Twitter account yet, but we will.
I eagerly await your Twitter account.
Oh, far out.
Just so I can constantly just maraud you with my thoughts on your thoughts on Saturday Night Live.
I welcome your marauding.
The maraudment.
I welcome your maraud.
He's a sweet man.
That's right. I'll be sending a call, let's say around 3:30. Queen Pen and Black.
All right, and with that, I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, anything like that, please shoot us an email. We are at decompositionpod@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @decomp_pod, Facebook and Instagram at @decompositionpodcast. Get yourself onto the Apple Podcasts app. Drop us a rating and a review. We would love to know what we're doing, good, bad, or otherwise. And in the meantime, thank you guys again, and you just chill till the next episode.
We out. Yeah. You know what? I like the Puget Sound. Dog Dookie D, no doubt. Play on, Puget. Play on, Puget. Yo, dog, drop the deuce. Doggy, get down, good dog. Baby got a walking through C-Town. And all around, the Puget Sound cover much ground, she ain't a hound from the pound. In the rain, it's a good day. Each and every day, the Northwest way. The girl and the dog, they were fine.
Wow.
Until they left for duty, it has a crime.
Wow.
East side to the west side, pushing I-5, take a ferry ride. I hope she got treats in the stash. Bacon gives a gas, fast when it comes to the snacks. I noticed that dance, it's on when she kicks like a rabbit. Doggy, when you do your do, I'm gonna help you. Can I get down so I can? I like the way you walk it, dog doogity. We got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you walk it, dog doogity.
Dog doogity.
We got to bag it up.
Bag it up, girl.
I like the way you walk it,
dog doogity.
We got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you walk it,
dog doogity.
Dog doogity.
We got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Hey yo, let's keep this clean.
Hey yo, hey yo.
We got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you walk it.
Dog doogity.
Dog doogity. We got to bag it up.
Oh,
bag it up, girl. I like the way you walk it.
Dog doogity.
We got to bag it
oh,
up.
Yeah.
I like the way you walk it.
Dog doogity.
Dog doogity.
We got to bag it up.
Yeah.